gods. Amen. And, you know, in old times, there were many gods in the form of idols and idol worship. And today, we still have idol worship. It's just in a different form. And man has become his own god. And the altar of science and reason has become a god. And there are so many things that pull on us and try to pull in our attention and our worship away from the true God. Amen? But when it comes right down to it, there's only one way that we're going to overcome in this hour. Amen? And that's through the living God. He said that there would be overcomers in this age. Amen? But there's only one God that can make a way for you to overcome tonight. And He's worthy of our praise. Amen? He's worthy. He's worthy to be acknowledged as the only God. The only God on the throne of our heart. Amen? I guess that's why I like this song, because I'm telling Him, I'm reminding Him, I'm saying, Lord, You're the only one on this throne. Amen. Forgive me, Lord, if my attention has been diverted to other gods, but God, I want You to be God alone tonight. Amen. No matter what I'm going through, You're God. You can change the situation. Amen. Just put the words up for that tonight. We'll just sing that from the first verse. Amen. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by Your plan. That's just the way it is. You're the only God. You're the only God whose power none can contend. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God. That's just the way.
Time began. You were.
the good times and bad. You are on your throne. Yes, you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're the only God tonight, Lord, that we acknowledge, Lord. We say you are God. Lord, you are God over every circumstance. You are God over every trial, Lord. You are God over every part of our lives, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you tonight. Lord, we humbly, Lord, we bow our knee before you. And we say you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We confess, Lord, here on earth, Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would just bless us tonight as we read your word, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would come and anoint it, Lord. Make it live, Lord God, tonight. We're not interested in a historical letter, Lord. We're not interested in anything to do with the intellect, Lord. We're interested in the living word tonight. Lord, we know that you have something for us here. Father, I pray that you just take complete control, Lord. Lord, use my lips, Father, as I surrender to you. Use your people tonight, Lord. Father, as you deal with each one, Lord. Lord, may this not just be a checking a box tonight at a Wednesday night service. But Lord, may it be a communion with an almighty God and his children tonight. I pray that you just bless us in that way, Lord. And we give you the praise and honor and glory and thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter tonight. Amen. How many is glad to be in church tonight? Amen. I'm happy to be here. Because I know that his words are life. Amen? Amen? I hope that's not just a cliche to us. I hope that's reality to us tonight. Amen? Amen. That he is the only source of life. Right. Amen. Let's just read this scripture here tonight. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Scripture says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. Amen. Tonight I'd like to just speak to you just on a little subject of sowing and reaping. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats tonight. God bless you. Amen. Now, God has established many laws and many spiritual laws. We know that the scripture describes them to us and expresses them to us. But many of the laws that God has set in place have a natural component and a spiritual component. Is that right? And we know that he's done things in his creation to help us understand the spiritual, the supernatural. Paul tells us that the creation speaks of God himself. Right? And we know that it is a part of God's word. It is God's expression. And we can find God in nature. Amen. We can see and understand his character, and we can understand something about supernatural laws that he has put in place just by looking at how he has ordered the natural kingdom and the natural world around us. And this is one of those things, the law of sowing and reaping. We read here in Galatians where he talks about how we can sow to the flesh or we can sow to the spirit. Amen? And look, when we talk about, you know, these are words maybe that we don't use every day nowadays, but sowing is not sowing with a needle and thread, right? Sowing is planting seeds, right? And reaping is taking the harvest of the seeds that were planted when it has come to full maturity and then taking the fruit of that harvest and bringing it in. So there's a law that God has established. Paul expresses it here that if we sow to the flesh, we reap of the flesh. But if we sow of the Spirit, then we'll reap of the Spirit. Amen? And so we want to examine this this spiritual law here tonight, just for a few minutes, if that's all right. We're going to read a bunch of scriptures and things and kind of dissect this a little bit. And I want to speak about the nature of this law of planting seeds, because it has something to do with us. Now, a seed is an amazing thing. A natural seed, right? If you've ever thought about how a seed works, you know, a seed, if you look up like the dictionary definition of it, it'll say it has a plant within the seed, right? And it has everything it needs inside that seed to bring forth and sprout a plant. Now that plant has to grow, and it has to take on nutrients from the outside, and it has to absorb sunlight, and it has to, you know, it respires and all these things from the environment that it's in. But everything that is going to be in that plant is in that seed in terms of its quality and what it is. Right? Like we would say our DNA, right? In human seed, right? It's DNA that's passed on, right? It's the code that describes what the person is going to be like. And so a seed is it is life being passed on. Amen? So to sow means to take a seed and put it and plant it in a place or a condition where it can bring forth life. Where that seed can then disintegrate and it can rot if it's planted in dirt, right, in soil, it will rot in the ground and then it'll bring forth life out of that seed. Many of you probably are like me, and one of your earliest experiences with this would have been in school, right? The little thing that they did in school, you know, where they give you a cup, right? And they give you, the teacher hands out these little beans, right? Or something like that. And you either had some soil to plant it in, or sometimes they'll do it just in a paper towel. That'll work too, right? But for us, I believe it was soil. So we all got to scoop a little bit of soil into the little cup, and you plant your little seed, right? And you water it, and then we would put your name on it, and then you would put it up in the window. Right? You didn't go hide it in the closet. Amen? You put it up in the window where it could get some light. Amen? You're about to experience the law of reproduction. Now, for us, we planted little beans. Little, you know, like lima bean or something like that. Something the teacher could get cheap. Right? And I think they grow easily, and so they germinate easily, and so that's why they use that, right? But, brother, sister, we were not shocked when a bean plant emerged, right? I wasn't expecting corn, Right? I wasn't expecting a pumpkin plant. Because what I put in the dirt was a bean. Amen? And so what I expected to come out was a bean. I expected to get out of that seed what was planted. Amen. So we had to keep it watered. We had to put it in the right kind of environment. We had to plant it in the right kind of soil. Right? If we just put it in rock, it wouldn't have done anything. It would have just rotted, right? Or just sat there. But we had to put it in the right kind of soil. We had to keep it wet. You had to put it in the sun because it needed two things. It needed warmth, right? It had to have the right kind of temperature. You can't just put it in the freezer. Life wouldn't have come forth. Amen. You got to get that seed in the right kind of atmosphere. So you had to put it in the sunlight so that the sun could hit it and warm it up. And not only that, but once it started to come out, it was already looking for that sunlight to draw from, to draw strength. Amen. Amen. I think I've mentioned this here before, but haven't you ever wondered how a seed knows to grow straight up? Amen. It's not growing towards the sun. I mean, it is, but that's not what's drawing it. It's growing against gravity. Amen. It feels the pull of the world, and it says, I'm going the opposite way. Amen. Because I know that's where life is. I know that that's where the life-giving sun is. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So there's some laws that man works according to, and farmers have worked according to these laws. Gardeners have worked according to these laws for thousands of years. And that's why God uses this as an example, because the simplest among us can get it. Right? You don't have to be educated. You just have to be a simple farmer. Amen. To understand how this works. Let's read some scriptures on this here. I want to read these four scriptures, and then we'll establish a couple of tenets of God's law here. Job 4:8, we'd put that up there on the screen, says, even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Amen. And then also Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So we have our first law, that every seed must bring forth of its own kind. God established it in Genesis when he created the earth. He said, let each seed bring forth, each plant bring forth of its own kind. As I mentioned, you don't expect to plant a bean and get a pumpkin. Right? But brother, sister, we do that. Why do we do that in the spiritual realm? Amen. We plant the wrong kind of seed and expect a different result. Get more into that later. All right, next scripture's here, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I've got Hosea 8:7. For they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. And then also 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So by these two scriptures, we understand that there is a law of multiplication. When you plant a seed in the ground, you don't expect to get one seed back. You expect to get multiplied fruit back from that planting. Right? Otherwise, man, what a waste of time. Right? I already had one. Why would I put it in the ground and then get one back? It was like the man that gave the ruler that gave the talents to his servants, right? The one that gave him his talent back, he said, well, I could have done that. Right? I already had one. But I'm looking to multiply. So God has put this law in effect that when a seed is planted, it produces a multiplied effect. Good and bad. Amen? Amen. So when a farmer plants seeds, he chooses his seeds very carefully because there is a big investment in the seeds, planting them, right? And he understands this law of multiplication, and he's going to get whatever he puts in the ground. Right? So he knows that he needs to choose his seed very carefully, because he knows that that decision is going to affect the harvest at the end of the season. It's going to affect what comes out of that field. It's going to, the seed that he chooses, not only is it going to affect the type of crop, but it's also going to affect the quality of the crop. It's going to affect the quantity of the crop. Right? Everything starts with the seed that he chooses to plant. Amen. Now, in my family, we have a lot of gardeners. And one of the things that has always been around my house and my parents and my grandparents' houses and kind of grew up with these things is seed catalogs. Brother Merritt's laughing. He must have one or two or 12. Right? Anybody ever seen a seed catalog? Now, seed catalog, what they do is they send you these, there's these companies that they sell seed, right? They sell all kinds of different kinds of seed, right? And so they send you a catalog so you can figure out what you want to order, and so you figure out what you want to plant for the upcoming season, right? And when we're talking about these catalogs, it's like, well, you don't just go, I'm going to plant tomatoes. Because there's 100 varieties of tomatoes, right? It's pages and pages and pages and pages of tomatoes. So you have to choose wisely what you're going to plant. And I remember my grandpa, you know, different ones talking about, oh, there's this variety and it works really well. And we, you know, they plant this kind and, oh, I liked how those taste and I didn't like how those. And each variety has its own characteristics. And so they would choose very carefully what was planted. And when they look through the catalog, if you've ever looked through a catalog, they're very colorful, right? I mean, you know, pictures. It's just all pictures. And it's not pictures of seeds. Right? In tomato section, it's you don't look through and look at tomato seeds. What they show you are the big, gorgeous bunches of red tomatoes. Right? Or maybe if they get really creative, some guy just taking a big bite out of something. Right? Really, something really eye-catching. And it's about the fruit. Right. It's not about this. Now, what you're buying is a seed. Right. Amen? You're buying a seed. But what they're selling you is on the fruit. Amen. So you look through this catalog and, man, you're like, whoa, now that's what I want, man. Look at that. Look at that watermelon. Man, that thing's amazing, right? You know, and you know, where we grew up in that area, it's very cold, you know, and very wet. And I remember as a kid, I remember looking through that going, oh, why don't we plant some of these watermelons? I mean, look at that. Look at that watermelon. Doesn't it look so good, right? And then, you know, usually one of the adults that had a little more experience would say, yeah, they don't grow here. You could buy that seed and plant it, and it would never come to maturity because it didn't have the right kind of conditions. All right, so you had to choose wisely. But it was all about the fruit. Amen. Now, those seeds, brother, sister, it's a whole specialty in how they handle these seeds. And I was thinking about Lucas. He used to work in a seed company, right? And man, I mean, they put special coatings on these things, right? They have like freshness dates on them. I remember you used to buy seeds and it have like a date stamped on it. And you wanted to get them fresh, and they would have different coatings on them to protect them from like fungus or to all kinds of different things, right? so important because the seed was the start of the harvest. You couldn't have a harvest of fruit without the correct seed. And it had to be handled correctly. Amen? So, we know that, as I said, this is a natural type of a spiritual law. Amen? Amen? So, brother, sister, let's bring it home. What are our seeds? Because this isn't an agricultural lesson tonight. Amen? How about choices that we make? When you make a choice, you're planting a seed. And we make choices every single day. Is that right? That choice is going to bear fruit. It's going to have consequences. Might be very minor. Might be very consequential. But it's a seed nonetheless. Amen? How about your confession? How about the things that come out of your mouth? Every one of those is a seed. It can bring forth fruit, either to corruption or to spiritual blessings. Every thought and action is sowing seeds. Think about that. The thoughts that you plant in your mind, the thoughts that you allow to be planted, right? I'm not talking about the thoughts that fly through that the enemy tries to tell you are yours. But the thoughts that you will accept and allow to be planted, amen? They're going to sprout. They're going to grow. They're going to produce something. They're going to become action. Amen? They're going to become choices. They're going to be manifest. They're going to bear fruit for the good or the bad. Amen. Your actions are a fruit that will be reaped or harvested at a later time. What power that we have been given, brother, sister. Amen? We have been given power. And, you know, we talk about, oh, man, God is, he's placed power in his church, you know. And then we look at us as individuals and go, yeah, I don't know about that, right? I don't feel too powerful. But God has given you something that is powerful. He's given you seeds. And the ability to sow the seeds. Amen? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew 21:20. This should be familiar to us. When the disciples saw it, so Jesus had just cursed the fig tree. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. If you'll plant a seed, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, it shall be done. If you'll plant a seed, you'll reap a harvest. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Why? Because it's a law of sowing and reaping. Amen. When you plant a seed, that seed doesn't care who you are. All you got to do is follow the laws of nature that God has put in place. It's no respecter of persons, but if you follow that law, you will reap the harvest. Amen. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So you give, plant a seed, reap a harvest. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured unto you again. A law of reaping and sowing. Amen. But we can only reap what has been sown. You can't expect to get a harvest when no seeds have been planted. Amen. Now, we've seen this lived out in the Bible. Right? We've seen men and women in the scripture do things and make choices and sow seed, and we've seen the consequences of their decisions. Let's talk about just a couple, just to give you a flavor, some examples. I want to use Jacob as an example. Amen? Now, we know Jacob, he was kind of a trickster, right? But Jacob wanted the birthright, right? The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, because of his attitude towards the birthright of God. Is that right? So he was the one that God loved and that God had chosen to work out his plan through. We know that, right? But Jacob sowed some seeds. Jacob sowed some seeds against his brother Esau, right? And he had to reap that. He had trouble with Esau later in life, right? He had to go through and face the consequences of what he did to his brother. Even though he was doing it because he wanted the birthright, right? There was still a law in place. He tricked his father. Remember how he deceived his father, right? He put on the skins of an animal and deceived his blinded father. Well, brother, sister, later in life, his sons came to him with an animal skin and deceived him. He reaped what he sowed. Now, God, it was all part of God's plan. God was working it all out, right? But there's still a law in place that what you plant, you will harvest. Amen? And we know that David was a man after God's own heart. Is that right? We know that David did many mighty, wonderful things. He established the kingdom of Israel as a power among the nations, right? And the benefits of that were reaped for generations by his descendants. Amen? But we also know that he also didn't always plant the best seeds, right? We know that when he disobeyed the law of God and took Bathsheba and killed a man and lied about it, right? All those things had consequences. He had to face a rebellion by his son, right? He was shamed openly with his concubines, his wives, right? All of these things were because of the seeds that he sowed. You plant, you harvest. It doesn't matter who you are. Amen? Some seeds bear fruit right away. Right? They come forth very quickly. And whatever the result is manifested right away. Some take time. Some take generations. Some last a very short time, right? A very short, small effect. Others last from generation to generation to generation. What do I mean? Adam made a choice. Adam planted a seed. Amen? And we are still reaping the harvest of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? I mean, that was a planting and a harvest. And all of the descendants of Adam and Eve, all of mankind, have been reaping that harvest. Amen? The Bible tells us God is not mocked. Whatever a man reaps, that's what he'll sow. Sometimes it keeps going from generation to generation. Now there's a positive side to that too. We are reaping the benefits of those that have gone before us. Amen? There are men that translated the Bible into our language. They planted some seeds. And we are still reaping the harvest of that. Amen? We are still reaping the harvest of what was sown at Calvary. Amen. Jesus sown a lot of seeds. Amen. Positive seeds. The Word of God. Amen. And we are reaping that harvest still. And we'll continue to reap it. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. So it's a law of God that choices that are made will have consequences. Amen. And that's true for us. Now, I mentioned Christ. God is the original creator. Is that right? We know that the Bible says that everything that is made was made by His Word. He didn't build it with His hands. It was His Word. His Word was a seed that went forth. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost brooded over that Word. And that produced creation. The fruit of His seed Word. His spoken Word. Right? We know what Brother Branham, how Brother Branham put that. The original seed is the spoken Word of God. When God spoke His Word, that was the original seed. Amen. Let's read a statement about that here. From spoken word is the original seed. He says, now remember, every spoken word of God is the original seed. God planted everything in the earth by His Word. And as long as you stay with the original seed, it will breed itself right back and reproduce itself again. If you hybrid it, it dies. And Eve the woman was the first hybrid thing there ever was. So the original seed was God's spoken Word. Right? In Genesis, He spoke, let there be, and there was. Let everything come forth of its kind, and it was. Amen? He spoke man, and there was man. And every word of God that has been spoken is like a seed that's been planted and waiting to come forth. Amen? He is the original planter. And He follows His own law of sowing and reaping. He planted seeds before time even began. Amen. And brother, sister, those seeds will come forth. They will bring forth. The Bible says that His Word will bring forth that which He sent it to do. Amen. It will not return unto Him void, because it is a good seed. It will return to Him exactly what He planned for it to produce. Because the law of multiplication applies to His Word. Amen. Amen. Another little statement here from There Is a Man That Can Turn on the Light. It says, in spiritual life, eternal life can only come by God's spoken word of life. Life was the S-O-N this time. In Him is light, and in Him is no darkness. He is God's spoken light. Is that right? God's spoken word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it's forever God. See? And it takes the light of God to strike the Word to make it live, just like a natural seed. Amen. A natural seed needs the light. It needs the atmosphere around it to bring forth life. He says, now here's what He spoke. Now let the light shine. Amen. Let the light shine, and the light will bring every word to its right position in its seasons. Amen. Now, you see, when it comes time, sometimes that little grain lays in the earth dormant all through the winter. Like a seed of winter wheat sowed in the ground. But when the sun gets just right, oh, then it's got to live. See, it can't live without the sun. And God's made promises for every age and every day. When the light gets right and shines upon that, it'll produce just exactly what the Word said. Because He is the light and the life. Amen. Brother, sister, we were planted in this earth like seeds. Our bodies, we have come forth from the earth in our time. Amen? And then there's a seed of God that was planted down in this flesh. Amen. And when it was the right time, the word, the light came and shined on that seed. Amen. Just in its season. And that seed that was planted is going to bring forth a bountiful harvest. Because God has set it up that way. He's a good farmer. Amen. He doesn't plant seeds without expecting to get a bountiful harvest. You know, a farmer, he doesn't have much control. Once he plants that seed, you know, he's got a little bit of things that he can do. He can keep the weeds away from it, and maybe he can water it or whatever, but he can't control the weather, right? He can't, he's not the giver of life, but God has everything in control. And when he plants a seed, he can make sure that it brings forth a bountiful harvest. Amen. Amen. Let's just read three statements here on this that I want to read. At thy word, he says, now you don't know how you'll get up out of that chair and get away from here tonight. He's talking about a cripple in a wheelchair who would want to be healed. He says, you don't know how you're going to do this, how these other diseases are going to be healed. But at thy word, Lord, I'm going to let down the net. Right? He's speaking about that story where the disciples were there and they said, look, we've fished all night. We've done everything that we know how to do. There's no fish around here anywhere. There's no physical way that this could be done. I don't see how I can reap a harvest. Amen. But the word of God comes as a seed and says, look, if you'll plant this, at thy word, Lord, I will let down my net. Right? That's what he's talking about. He says, at thy word, I'm going to rise up from here. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but at thy word, Lord, that's it. Take God at his word. God's spoken word will materialize and produce just exactly what it says it will. It's a seed. It will produce. It's the law of God. Listen, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you plant, if you want corn, you plant corn. Water corn. Leave corn alone, it'll produce corn. What's he saying? He says there's a law here. You take the word of God, you combine it with the right mental attitude, and plant that seed, that word of God. Allow it to be planted in your heart. Water it by faith. Let the Holy Spirit water it. It'll produce the word. He says if you plant, you want corn, then you plant corn. Right? If you want corn, you don't plant watermelons. Why do we expect to reap a spiritual harvest of blessings when we sow into our lives something other than the word of God? Why do we let the confession of our mouth be something other than the word? How can you expect to be healed when your confession is, I'm sick? That's the seed you're planting. It's like planting thistles and expecting corn. Amen. He says, if you want corn, plant corn, water corn, leave corn alone. It'll produce corn. Is that right? Wheat will produce wheat. The promise of salvation will produce a Christian. In other words, that promise in the scripture concerning salvation is a seed. You take that, you plant it in your heart, you confess it, you do what it says, and it produces a Christian. That's the fruit. The promise of the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The promise of divine healing will make you well. Any divine promise of God, and the Bible said that the word of God is a seed, is that right? Brother, sister, that's why we can take any word of God, any divine promise of God, and we can treat it that way. We can say, Lord, I believe that this is a seed that you have given to me. And Lord, I'm going to plant it. Amen. Amen. I'm going to plant it in my life, and I'm going to expect something from it. Amen. Amen. spoken words, the original seed again. He says, Jesus is the word of God. He was bursted open, the life that's inside the seed, that is the life, which is the spirit, water flowing over the spirit, over the seed of God will bring forth the life of the seed. He's talking about the mechanics of a seed actually bursting forth and bringing life. And to bring something, bring forth something else, there's got to be some other kind of seed in there. Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's the seed it's watering, it'll produce the life of the seed. Is that clear? Produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's give for. Amen. Wisdom versus faith. Again, he says, then as soon as, talking about Eve, he says, then as soon as she did that, she accepted wisdom with the word, and wisdom was contrary to the word. If you understand, say amen. Congregation says amen. See, if wisdom is with the word and proves to be, if wisdom is with the word and proves to be with the word, and the word produces itself by the same thing, then it is the word. In other words, what he's saying is, you can know what was planted by the fruit, right? If it's producing the word, then that's what was planted. He says, but trying to find something else to add to it or take from it, it's of the devil. And Holy Ghost seeds of the Bible cannot grow in the atmosphere of wisdom. That kills every seminary in the country. That knocks the holes right out through them and punches them with till the judgment flows in. That's right, it certainly does. The word cannot grow with wisdom. Worldly wisdom won't do it. So he's talking about the right atmosphere. He's talking about the seed has got to be planted in faith, not wisdom. Amen? It's not about intellect. It's about faith. And the Holy Ghost atmosphere will then bring it forth. Amen? So, brother or sister, with our mouth, we have power. With our mouth, we can create. Tonight, we were singing praise. We were just creating an atmosphere with our confession. Amen. Amen. And brother, sister, every small choice in our lives will bear fruit in our lives. I mean, put it this way. Maybe today, you know, we'll just, you know, maybe have a small example here. Maybe today you are at work, like I was at work, and maybe you started to feel a little under the weather, right? You can just feel it coming on. Everybody around you has been sick. The flu's going around, right? And you know all this. People have been coughing on you, right? Coming in, coughing all around you. Now you got a choice, right? You can start to confess that, right? You can choose what kind of seed you're going to plant. Amen? What kind of seed am I going to plant? Am I going to plant what the word says, or am I going to confess what's been going on around me? Now, if you confess by his stripes I'm healed, amen? That word now can go to work. The Holy Spirit can begin to move on that. And that can bear fruit in your life. Now that one choice, right? Then you say, I'm not going to let anything like this keep me from church tonight. And that choice then affects the rest of your day. Amen? All the way to you come to church, and now that choice has affected the person next to you and the people around you because you're here. Because of the choice you made. Because of the confession. Because of the little seed that you planted. Back in the this morning when you were going through something and you decided to confess what God's word said. And then your children look at that and they go, wow, you know what? Mom or dad or whoever, they don't let anything stop them from going to church. And that plants a seed. Amen? And that seed is going to bear fruit later on. Because when it comes time for them and they come to a point where they can make a choice, they're going to go, you know what? Mom and dad, they would never really let anything stop them from going to church. Right? They would do everything they could to make sure they would clear their schedule. Right? They wouldn't let things work if they could help it. They would do everything in their power to make sure that they made it to church. right? And then when that child, then they grow up and they're at the age of accountability and they can make a decision, now that seed is going to bear fruit because it's going to have an impact on them. They're going to go, wow, I grew up believing that church is important. And now I'm going to make an effort like they did, right? I'm in the same situation that I saw mom or dad in. And now I'll choose. I'm going to come to church, right? And maybe that's the night they get blessed. Maybe that's the night they get the Holy Ghost. That's the night they get healed. That's the night they pray for someone and make a difference. And the fruit, the harvest goes on. What power we've been given, brother, sister. We can affect those around us. We have an influence just by small choices that we make. Amen. Or we can choose to sow corruption. We can choose to sow to the flesh. We can choose to sow worldliness in our lives. We can choose to sow lust. We can choose to sow just Laodicean lukewarmness. We can choose to sow just giving up. That's a seed. Yeah. Amen? But what will be the harvest? Yeah. What will be the result of that? Why would we sow that in our lives expecting to have spiritual blessings? Why do people sow in their lives, you know, demonstrating before their children that church isn't important? Amen. By finding any excuse they can find to get out of it or not to come. And then expect their children, why don't they go to church? Well, the seeds were sown. Amen. This is just the harvest. It's the law of God. It doesn't matter who you are. Amen. It's just a law. From day one, we demonstrate to our children and sow seeds in their lives. We sow seeds in the lives of those around us by our actions, by our attitudes. Amen. We can affect fruit in other people's lives. It is a law. It is no respecter of persons. Like Brother Doug said many times, it's just like the law of gravity. Right? The law of gravity doesn't care who you are. It's just a law. It just works. You know, there's people that, you know, sometimes folks that grow up in church, they say, well, I'm going to go out in the world and I'm going to experience things. Right? And I know that I'll come back sometime. I know that I'm going to go out and I'm going to come back. You're sowing seeds. And every seed that's sown will bring forth a harvest. You go out in the world and you start to sow seeds, they're going to grow up and they're going to produce fruit. And it's not going to be pleasant. I mean, we have examples of that all through this message. Amen. Amen? You say, well, what about God's grace? Of course, God's grace cleanses you from every sin. But let's take an example of a young lady. Young lady goes out in the world, starts hanging out with the wrong crowd, gets pregnant, has a baby out of wedlock. She comes back to the Lord, or comes to the Lord. Wiped, her sins are gone, right? Wiped as clean. Record is clear before God. But you know what? She has to deal with being a mom, a single mom. She has to deal with the consequences of her actions, right? The fruit of what she has sown is still there. She still has to reap that harvest. Do you understand? The grace of God will help her through that and has wiped away every sin stain. It's not recorded. It's not in the record of God. But while we are here on earth, there is a harvest. Amen. We should never think that we can just go out in the world and come back and just start up again. That's a lie of the devil. Every action has a consequence. You do that, you're going to, as the Bible says, you sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. Remember the law of multiplication. Amen. Your sins will find you out. I read a story about, it's kind of a cute little story. There was a boy that loved watermelons, and they had a watermelon patch, and his father was leaving, and he told him, now don't go up in that watermelon patch, because the watermelons aren't ripe yet, and I don't want you to touch them. Okay, I don't want you to mess with the watermelons. Okay? Well, the boy loved watermelon. So when dad was gone, he went to the watermelon patch. And he found one that was ripe. They weren't supposed to be ripe, but he found one that was ripe. So he breaks it open on a rock and just eats this watermelon, has a good old time. Dad will never be the wiser because he ate the evidence. Well, sometime later, dad's out in that area and he sees all these little watermelons growing around this rock. Little watermelon plants popping up all around. What had happened? All those seeds from that watermelon got scattered all over where they weren't supposed to be. And he caught him. He found him out. Sometimes we're planting seeds when we don't know it. Amen? But they're going to come up just the same. Amen. God's given us a bag of seeds. Of the original seed. Amen? His word. And if we plant this kind of seed, it's going to reap a wonderful harvest. It's going to reap a harvest of blessings. Amen? It's going to reap a harvest that others are going to look at and go, man, I want some of that. We plant this seed through our actions and through our confessions and through our choices and the benefits that will be multiplied. Amen. Because that's God's law. That's how He works. You can't have a harvest without a planting. So, brother, sister, the seeds that we are planting now that come from this word, that's your harvest of tomorrow. Amen? That's what you're going to be reaping. We have to sow with perseverance and patience, sometimes through tears, sometimes through trials, many times when we don't feel like it. And then we have to protect the harvest. We have to watch over it and guard it. Amen? And then we can reap the blessings. Oh, hallelujah. We've got power. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, I don't have it up here, but he said it's by your word you are justified, or by your word you are condemned. Amen? He said that in Matthew 12. By thy word, he said, you are justified. By thy word you are condemned. Why? Because it's a seed. And it's going to bear some kind of fruit. Let's read just a couple more pages of quotes. Jehovah Jireh. He says, remember, nothing can be done without faith, and at first has to be confessed. For he is the author of faith, we know that, and nothing can be done without faith, and without faith it's impossible to please him. And now he is the high priest of our confession. In other words, he operates on the seeds that you plant. The King James here in the book of Hebrews puts it a profession, or to profess and confess is the same thing. Profess and confess means to say the same thing. By his stripes I am healed, see? By his life I am saved. What's he saying? He's saying you're saying the same thing. In other words, you're taking the seed, the original seed, and you're planting it. He says, now, then first we've got to confess it. And he sets as a mediator, and the only mediator between God and man, and he sets there to make intercession upon what we confess that he has done. God, why haven't you healed me? Have you planted a seed? That he can bring an increase? You know, Paul said, you know, this one Apollos waters, this one plants, this one waters. He says, but God gives the increase. He says he sits there to make intercessions upon what we confess that he has done. What a sound, solid thing that is. Amen. Amen. Psalm 126, 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. It's not so easy always to confess. Amen. Confess what the word says in the face of a trial or a temptation. Amen. Many times we will sow good seed amongst our tears in the midst of trial and pain. That's when that seed is sown. But he says, if you do that, you shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In other words, the bountiful harvest. Amen. Oh, how wonderful it is. And brother, sister, it's sown in tears. And many times we do it without any evidence at all. Amen? When you speak and confess the word of God, you're doing it contrary to evidence. Amen? You're looking at a bare field saying, I'm going to get corn out of this field. And there's no corn there. Amen. You're looking at a circumstance saying, by his stripes I am healed. And there is no healing evident there. But you're confessing that seed word. Ecclesiastes 11:4. I put it up here in two versions. Go ahead and put them both up so we can see them. It says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And that in King James English doesn't make a, you know, it's not as easy to understand, right? So I put it up in the New Living, and this is what it says. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Amen? There is never a good time to plant, which means it's always a good time to plant. There's never, you're always waiting for the perfect time, right? Amen. You do that, you'll never plant any seeds. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Don't wait for perfect weather, brother, sister. Amen. Start planting the word of God in your life. Amen. You could be waiting forever. Two more quotes here, if we could just stand. I'll read these. Two last statements here. Greater than Solomon is here. He says, if Jonah, under those circumstances, in that condition, we know the condition that Jonah was in, right? Nobody here has the conditions like Jonah was in. He says, if Jonah, under those circumstances, in that condition, could look at a temple that was made by a man, prayed over by a man, how much more ought we tonight, under these conditions, look away from a temple, but to the throne where God sits there. Jesus on his right hand with his own bloody garments making intercession for our profession. Setting as a high priest upon a throne, symptoms don't mean anything to us then. God said so and that's all. Jesus is sitting there tonight to make your confession right before God. I want to let that statement sink in for a moment. Jesus is sitting there tonight to make your confession right before God. I'm worthless. I'm a loser. I'm sick. I'll never overcome this. That's the confession you want him to make before God? He's not going to repeat that kind of confession. He's not going to operate on that kind of seed. He's only going to operate on, thus saith the Lord. He says he's a high priest to make intercessions upon our confession. You got to believe it and confess it. And that is so. And then Jesus can go to work on it for you. So many times we miss out on a harvest because we just fail to plant. Desiring an overcoming life, desiring spiritual blessings, it's like planting or expecting a crop without planting, right? At thy word, I'll let down the net. That's the title of this message. He says, for God can only save you as you testify. He can only heal you as you testify. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight to make intercession upon your profession. It isn't how loud you cry, how hard you beat the altar, how many good deeds you do. It's your faith that saves you. If you'll confess it with your lips coming from your heart, he goes to work. All right? That's how you plant a seed. Confess it with your lips coming from your heart. By faith, you confess it with your lips. You've just planted a seed. He goes to work as a high priest, sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession upon your confession. Hebrews 3:1, he cannot do one thing for you until you first believe it and accept it and confess it to be so. The people today, they'll go out and say, well, I felt better last night, but today I'm so bad I can just hardly stand it. That's just exactly when you lose your confession and drop right down. No matter who you are, how saintly, how godly you are, you're a minister, a clergyman, or a deacon, or whatever you are, or you've been a Christian for 50 years, if you go out here tomorrow and lose faith that you're a Christian and start telling people you're not a Christian anymore, you're backslid. You're gone. It's a pretty flat statement, right? That's the power that we've been given. As small creators, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hand of man, is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time. If you'll believe it, accept it on those basis. Believe it, stay with it, keep confessing it. And when you confess it, you know what a lot of people look at, symptoms. They always go around and say, well, now I don't feel any better. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's what you believe, not what you feel. In other words, it's what the seed has been planted, not what you feel. You're standing over the field, you're looking down at the dirt where you planted the seed, and the circumstance looks terrible. Amen? You're getting rained on, the wind's blasting, the storm's beating you up, but the seed has been planted. And it will bring forth. This word will bring forth a harvest. If we are faithful to confess it and apply it and plant it in our lives, it will bring forth a bountiful harvest. How many want a blessing, a harvest in your life? Amen? Amen. Sorry to keep you standing, but just think about these things for a moment. I just want you to think about this. Is your confession, I can't? Because God's word says you can. It says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And you say, I can't, what are you sowing? I will never again confess that by God's help. Right? Say that I can't. His word says I can. Are we confessing a lack? For the Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Will I confess fear? When God says, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Will I confess doubt and lack of faith? When God has given me the faith. Amen. Amen. Will I confess weakness when he has said, when it says that the Lord is the strength of my life? Amen. Amen. Will I confess Satan having the victory in my life? When the Bible says greater is he that is within me. Will I confess defeat? When the Bible says God always causes me to triumph in Christ. Will I confess lack of wisdom? When the Bible says Jesus Christ has made into me the wisdom from God. Will I confess sickness? When the Bible says by his stripes I am healed. Will I confess worry and frustration when the Bible says, if you cast all your care on him, he cares for you? Will I confess bondage when the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty? Will I confess condemnation when the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus? Will I confess loneliness when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always? Oh, hallelujah. Will I confess discontent when Paul said, whatever circumstance I find myself, therewith I am content? Will I confess unworthiness when the Bible says, he hath become sin for us who knew, or he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? So what kind of seed are you planting? The seed of the word or the seed of the enemy? Whatever seed you plant is what harvest you'll reap. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for your word tonight. We're thankful for your presence, Lord, that comes and anoints your word, Lord, and brings it to life. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for those that have sown good seed into our lives. For you, Lord, who have planted the seed, Lord, that seed gene in us, Lord. And we know that it's going to bring forth a harvest, Lord. It's going to manifest exactly what you had in mind at the beginning, Lord. And Father, tonight I just pray that you would bless your people here, Lord. Father, as your word has gone forth, pray that you would help us, Lord, to sow good seed in our lives, Lord. Just to have your word on our lips. Not to confess, Lord, the lies of the enemy. Father, we love you so much tonight. Just pray that you be with each one tonight. No matter what trial we're going through, no matter how hard the road has gotten, Lord, no matter if we've been hurt by someone, Lord God, hurt by a circumstance, Father, just beaten down by life, trapped by the enemy, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in tonight, Lord, may our confession line up with your word, Lord. I want to refuse to confess anything outside of your word. Amen. I want to reap a spiritual harvest in my life, Lord, a bounty of blessings of everything, Lord, that you've promised. And when I think of the times, Lord, when I have short-circuited that, Lord, by just planting the wrong kind of seed, Lord. Forgive me for it, Lord. Help me, Lord, not to do that. Help me, Lord, to line up my confession with your word, Lord. Lord, help my faith, Lord. Sometimes we sow that seed in tears, Lord. We sow it in the face of every natural sensibility and every natural sense that's screaming against it. And yet we grit our teeth and we say, by His stripes I'm healed. We plunge that seed down into the ground and say, Lord, I believe Your word. I believe Your promise. Oh, Father. Help our faith, Lord. Help our faith tonight. Lord, I know that the words that have been spoken tonight, even that, Lord, even what was preached, Lord, it is a seed. It's going to bring forth fruit, Lord. I pray they just find a bedding ground tonight, Lord. That it wouldn't just be theory, Lord, but, oh God, that Your people just walk out the doors, Lord, tonight and tomorrow and the coming days, Lord, and that word would come to their remembrance, Lord. Help us, Father, just when we're ready to plant that wrong kind of seed, Lord, catch us. Help us stay our hand, Lord, and remind us of this law of reaping and sowing. Remind us, Lord, just whisper in our ear, oh God, child, do you really want to sow that kind of seed? Do you want to reap that kind of harvest? Oh, grant it, Lord, I pray. Just thank You for each one here tonight, Lord. I pray You bless them, Lord. Just them coming here tonight, Lord, they're going to reap a harvest from that, Father. Just pray that You be with them tonight, and thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name.